Hallelujah. Go ahead and look on your sheet. We've been in a series that we called Whatever Things Are True. Whatever Things Are True. Philippians 4:8. The New King James says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." In the New Living Translation, verse 8 says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And we focused on that part, that whatever things are true, fix your thoughts on what is true. And we've spent a lot of time here, and you know what we're saying today builds on what we've said before. We can't possibly recap, but we're going, I mean everything, but we're going to do a quick review and kind of just build up to where we are today. So we'll use our sheet to do that. Look quickly on your sheet, John 8:44. We've read all these scriptures before, but let's go through them quick. It says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Revelation 12:9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So the Jesus said the devil, he is the father of lies. He does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. None. So he is a liar. There is no truth in him. Revelation says he goes to deceive into the whole world. He and his angels, they go out to deceive. So we know he's a liar. He's a deceiver. This is what he does. We read the definition of to deceive here. It means to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. It means to cause to go astray, to deceive, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. So the devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. So what does he do? He tries to get people to roam off where they should be. Either roam from safety, roam from truth. He seduces people. He deceives people. He causes them to wander. He causes them to get out of the way. And that's a lot of times what he's trying to do. Trying to get you out of the way. Out of the way of what? Out of his way. Did you know you're a threat to the devil? Did you know that? Yes. Some of you are saying, "I don't know about that. He's has me on the run lately." You seen one of those cartoons? I have no idea what it was. I just know that I've seen it sometime in my life, where there's this. And it's not a common cartoon. I just think it was part of something where there's this lion that is afraid of mice and does not want to be around them. You know, elephants can be afraid of mice. Well, an elephant, what does it have to do to stop the mouse from bothering it? Let's say the mouse is pushing up against his little toe. What does he have to do? Just move a little bit, like 2 inches that way, and the problem's gone. Right? A lion. What does he have to do to take care of the mouse? Nothing, you know, but if the elephant is scared of the mouse, well, the little mouse can have the elephant on the run. The little mouse can have a lion on the run, but that does not mean that the lion or the elephant is not a threat to the mouse. But if the mouse knows something that the lion or elephant does not know, then you have this funny picture of something that is 1,000th the size of another animal having that animal on the run. And the animal is running in terror. Well, we are a threat to the devil. So just to make it clear, in this illustration, you are the lion. You are the elephant. The devil is the mouse. You say, well, it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't have anything to do with what you think it feels like. That's reality. Because it's not... Now, if it were just you, that would be one thing. You against the devil, there's no match. Just you. In the natural, in the flesh, he is a supernatural being. He would destroy you. But the fact is, it's not just you. If we're a Christian, a born-again Christian, we have Almighty God, the Spirit of the Christ, lives in us. Now let me ask you something. Is Jesus a threat to the devil?
Yes.
And whose spirit do we have on the inside of us? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is on the inside of you. The Bible says in 1 John 4, for greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So you are a threat, whether you know it or not. Most of the battle with the enemy is just knowing who you are and then standing on it. You have to know, but you're going to be pushed even if you know. He's going to try to push you to say that he is a threat. He's trying to push you to admit that he does have authority over you. Well, this sickness is going to destroy me. Well, I'm afraid I am going to go down financially. He's pushing you to try to get you out of the way. Because he can't deal with you head to head, but if he can deceive you, if he can seduce you and get you to go over here or get you to believe that he's more powerful than he really is, then it's the same as him being powerful. The mouse does not have to be actually physically stronger or able to overcome the elephant. If the elephant believes that the mouse is a threat, he'll act like he's a threat. But as soon as he figures out the truth, the mouse doesn't have a prayer. But this is a good chunk of the Christian world. Does not realize who they are. You may have heard who you are in Christ before, but this is not something that you hear once and then the enemy will never challenge you again. He will challenge your authority. He will push you. He will hit you low blows. He'll attempt to. He'll make it look like he has. But he cannot just come in and wreck your life. But the problem is, Christians, for the most part, don't understand who they are and they won't stand up for who they are. And so the enemy's got them on the run. Now, how could he have them on the run and yet not really be more powerful than him, than the Christian? Because the Christian is deceived. He's done a masterful job of convincing Christians that they don't have any power against him. And a lot of Christians, without knowing it, they glorify the devil. They talk about how much what the devil's doing in their lives, and they'll testify to the power of the devil. You know what I mean by that? The devil has been doing this to my children. Devil has been doing it. What are you doing? That's the same thing in a twisted way of somebody getting up and glorifying and giving a testimony to God. God has done this. God has rescued me. Well, when you're saying the devil is doing this, you're testifying and glorifying the devil. What are you saying? He's able to do this. He is able to take me out. He's able to get at me. Now, I'm not saying he won't attempt, he won't try to hit you with something, but we have to know the truth. He has been stripped. The Bible says Jesus stripped him. He is the God of this world, but he has been stripped of authority over Christians. But he won't just run just because you heard a sermon. Did you hear me? Well, I heard it, so now he has to leave me alone. No, he'll push you. He's trying to get you to cry uncle. But if we knew who we were, I've shared this before. But we know we know some missionaries that are down in Panama, and they dealt with people that were former witch doctors in that area, and they said this witch doctor got saved and came over to know Jesus. And they were talking to him. And these people have been down there for decades. And they were talking to this witch doctor. And he said, if Christians only knew the power that they're carrying with them. He said, when a Christian would be walking through the forest, he said, we knew it. You could see it. It was like a light. There was a glow coming down with the Christian. And he said, if the Christian knew the power that was inside of them, they have no problem with the devil. The witch doctors were afraid of that. They knew what the Christian had. But the Christians so often don't know. Satan knows the power that you and I have as Christians. But if he knows that you don't know it, then he doesn't obey laws. He doesn't, he's a con artist. He's a thief. He's a criminal. Criminals, you know, sometimes we pass laws trying to keep the criminals from doing certain things, but criminals by definition break laws. That doesn't necessarily help. Well, there are laws, there are legalities that we have been bought and paid for by Jesus. But Satan's not a law abider. We have police officers, and they're called law enforcement. Right? They're there to make sure the laws are followed. But how many of you know people break laws? And if they can get away with it, they'll keep breaking them, right? Yes. Satan's the same way. Who do you think prompts that? So if he comes in and does something in your life, he's going to push and try to get you to believe that he owns you, that he can do what he wants in your life. And you could say, well, it sure looks like he has. You have to step up and believe what Jesus said and believe what the Word says, that we actually have authority over him, and you have to put him out by the authority that's been vested in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if he pushes in, you have to say, no, you don't have any place here. You say, what if he doesn't leave immediately? He has to leave. It's when you start saying he hasn't left, what are you saying? So he must have the right to stay. You have to stay and believe that he has to go. But part of what we're talking about and focusing on is he is a master. He is the father of lies. This is how he gets Christians deceived and into thinking they can't do anything about him. He has smoke and mirrors. He has deceptions, webs of lies, impressions, thoughts, tries to make situations look a certain way so that you'll react in a way that you'll give him free rein to act. You'll say, I guess it doesn't matter what I do. This word doesn't work. He's not going. What are you saying? You are saying and confessing and declaring in your life that he has power over you and that the word doesn't work in your life. And he's a legalist. He'll say, out of their mouth, they said it. I have authority in their life. And he'll push. But he doesn't. I said he doesn't.
That's right.
I said he does not. He does not. He does not. If you're thinking right now, yeah, but he's done some stuff, you have to change your mind. This takes mind renewal. Right now you have to say, I've thought wrong. He doesn't. Start agreeing with what God says. Well, it sure looks like. I don't care what it looks like. All of us, there's not a person in here that hasn't been pressed in their senses to side in with circumstance. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We have to start siding in with God and say, I don't care what it looks like. What you said is right. This is how you cut through the deception.
Yep.
We're talking about whatever things are true. Satan thrives in smoky, fuzzy areas. He tries to create confusion. He's the author of confusion. Because in confusion, if he can get you stirred up and things looking chaotic, people start dealing in their emotions and they start dealing in logic. And, you know, those seem contradictory, but it can be different areas. Sometimes they're all emotional. Sometimes they're just trying to go by their head. They're just going by their flesh. They're going by what somebody said. How do you cut through the devil's web of lies and his deception and his attempts to seduce you and get you out of the way? How do you cut through that? You cut through it with what God says. You come through and say, I don't care what this looks like. The Bible still says you are stripped and you have to bow your knee. You have to stay there. You have to get to the place where we have to make up our mind that we're going to side with God, regardless of what we see. You have to call the bluff of the enemy. Today. Now. Well, I don't feel like it. It's got nothing to do with how we feel. Well, when it turns around, then I'll know it's working. It doesn't work that way. You have to know that God's Word is true and act on it. It's a choice. Well, I don't feel like God's Word is true. It doesn't have to do with you feeling it. You choose to believe it.
That's right.
You choose to say, I choose God, I choose His Word. I choose to believe that it's true now. I choose to believe that Satan is defeated. Satan, you have no authority here. You start saying, God is working on my side. God is working in my situation. When you can't see anything happening, you say, I'm lying. You're not lying. You're agreeing with God. We're talking about on Wednesdays that God calls those things that be not as though they were. That's not lying. That's acting like God, because it will show up. What you're saying is, it may not look like it, but if God said it, it's got to happen. So I'm going to say what He says until it happens. Now, I'm not telling you go tell other people this is true when in fact it's not. What you can say is, according to God's Word, this is going to change. You watch it. That's biblical. You're not saying black is white when it's still black. You're saying, watch, it's going to turn though. It's going to turn to white. You watch. It looks black, but God said, I have victory. It's going to change. You watch. You're aligning yourself with God. Don't say, I just don't know why it's still black. Been black for 3 years. Probably know it's going to be black. You don't say that. You say, it's going to change. The daylight's coming. Why? Because how do you know that? Why would you say that? Because God told me. You heard an audible voice? He told me in His Word. His Word is God speaking, is Him speaking to me. Amen. So Satan tries to deceive us. He tries to get us off. And we're into where we really want to be today. We have to counter. He will try to push us off. Let's go through a few more of these scriptures because to fill in some of the stuff we were just talking about. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, has deceived. They've been led astray, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So He is the God of this world, but we've been set free. Amen. Ephesians 4:17 said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of her heart, of their heart." See, these are people that have been deceived. And this is how the enemy works. But we are not supposed to be like this. Verse Peter 5, we spent some time here. Then last week, this is where we want to get to. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And then it says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith." It says he is walking around seeing whom he can, whom he may devour. It didn't say he could just go about devouring everybody. It didn't say he has the right to just blow your life apart. It said, what does it tell us to do? It says to resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Resist him. Well, if he could just do whatever he wanted, what's the point? If he could overwhelm you, why resist him? See, he doesn't have the authority to overwhelm us. He can't just do whatever he wants. He does not have the authority. If we resist him, he has to go. In fact, in James 4:7, which we'll probably get to, it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Turn over there real quick. James 4. James 4, verse 6. Or it's on your sheet. James 4, 6 says, "He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, right here, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It is humble. Humble means you acknowledge the truth about a situation. If God says something about your situation, then to be humble about it, you say the same thing. Being proud about it is when you say, "Well, I know what that the Bible says, but where is God? What's He doing in my situation?" You are saying you know more about your situation. You know what God should be doing, and He's not doing it. That's pride. What does it say about pride? God resists the proud. I don't need God resisting me. But when you humble yourself, Bible says, if you humble, it says in the next one, to submit to God, but it says if you humble yourself, He gives grace to the humble. Gives grace. That means He gives help to the person that says, "Lord, You said it. I don't see it in my situation, but I'm going to agree with You." That's a humble person. You agree with God. Somebody tries to say, "Well, what do you mean? How is that possible? Why are you saying that?" "Because God said it." Yeah, but how do you know? See, pride wants to know. Pride wants to explain. Pride wants to have a reason. Save face. Well, this is why I'm doing this. What about God told me to do this? This is what the Word says. Well, they wouldn't understand that. Okay, maybe you don't put that in front of everybody. But you don't have to have a reason all the time. Who says that we answer to everybody else? We should be concerned more about what God says and what He thinks. It says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore, submit to God. What does submit mean? It means to place yourself under. It means to do that when you disagree or when you don't know. You say, God said it, therefore I'm submitting to you. But when you do that, the Bible says when you submit to God, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Will. Definite. Turn over to Ephesians. We may come back to that, but I just want, since I was mentioning, I want to touch on it. But go over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Didn't say to be strong in you and in the power of your might. You say, well, I just don't know if I can keep going. This is hard. Well, number one, are you doing what God told you to do? That's the first question always. Because if it's hard and you're going, it will be hard if you're going, if you're not where God wants you to be. Because His grace isn't just to help you do whatever you want to do. His grace is to help you do what He's called you to do. So if you know, and you've checked that, and you know you're in the right place, doing what you're supposed to be doing, then if you feel weak, you need to say, I'm strong in Him. He told me to do this. This is my task on the earth. Therefore, I can do it. But you be sure you're doing what He told you to do. And even if you're doing what He told you to do, doing it in the way He told you to do. In other words, He can say, do this and such, and you take it and multiply it times 10, and now you're doing way more. You're doing it. You could say you're doing it, but you're doing way too much, or you're doing it in a different way. The details matter with Him. We should have plenty of strength to do what He tells us to do. I'm not saying there won't be a push on some things. That's when we have to act in faith and say, wait, I am strong in Him. I will go on in Him. And then you gird yourself up in Him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. Now, he is a liar. He is a con artist. He's a deceiver. And so it's telling us, you put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemings, the wiles of the devil. That he is going to, it's not if, it's when he's going to try to come at you with deception. Trying to get you off the track. Trying to get you away from truth. Trying to get you away from safety. But you need to stand against it. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're going to touch on that in a minute. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, are you as a Christian ever going to have to stand? Yes. The devil will try things, but if we know we are doing what we ought to do, we also have to know this fact. He cannot push us off. He cannot push us around. He has no legal authority to mess with you when you are on a task from Almighty God. Now, I know this has been twisted. Sometimes people think it's when you're in the center of God's will that God, that the devil just unleashes everything to try to get you off. Okay, two different things. Him hitting you with things, trying to deceive you, trying to get to throw smoke screens, trying with lying symptoms is one thing. Him being able to succeed is another. So if it is wrong, I know this may shake somebody up, but it is wrong thinking to think I'm in the center of God's will, so I'm having all these problems. So what we're saying when we think, and I know that's a prevalent thing in some people's, in Christians, they're just like, oh my gosh, I'm doing stuff for God and I'm just getting hit. The devil is just doing stuff. What we're saying then is that I am doing the will of God on a task from God and I'm set up to be destroyed by the devil. Does it cost to serve God or does it pay to serve God? Now bear with me here because I understand. People will say this. I'm not saying people mean to. I'm saying that Satan is a liar and a deceiver, and he's woven in there and got Christians to believe that if you go full bore after God, that you're going to pay for it, that he's going to ramp up the attack. Who would tell you that? Who would want you to believe that? What does that make you want to do? Does that make you want to run with the plan of God or say, well, you be careful. You start really following God wholeheartedly, you're liable to get your whole family taken out or lose everything you have. That's a lie. I said it's a lie. It's a deception. The truth is, if you're in the center of God's will, Satan can't touch you. Did you hear me? I don't think you got it. You're processing. I know this is going smack against what some people's theology is. But it's a lie. God, when we follow Him, Satan will try to attack you. What you have to do when he attacks you is if you know, Satan, you're a liar, you're a deceiver, you have no right ever. If I am in the center of God's will, then I am submitting to Him. And if I'm submitting to Him, if I resist you, you have to flee.
Amen.
You can't touch me. That's the truth. You can't do anything to me. And he'll cry and howl and say, oh, I'm going to do stuff. This is going to happen. This, you watch it. You went over the line now. This has all been, everybody ever heard something like this? I've been setting you up for 10 years. Now you're really going to hit the floor. Or 5 years or what. You know, all those times you got through before, those were setups, but now you're really going to go down. I don't know how many times I've heard that, but you know what? Every time we come through, he's a liar. He will, it doesn't matter if there's 100 times you've kicked him out, he will come back and say, this time you're going down. Every time. What is he trying to get you to do? Take the bait and say, ooh, maybe that's right. But if we'll stand strong and say, you have no legal right to touch me. I am walking in God Almighty's plan. I am doing what He told me to do. The angels protect me. You can try whatever you want to try, but you can't get through. You know it. Shut up and leave. Amen. This is where the rubber hits the road. I'm telling you, this is real.
Yes, it is.
Warfare.
Yes, it is.
You know, we talked about it last week. It's not this cuckoo stuff that people do weird, get off in the ditch and do weird stuff. It's going on between your ears.
Yes, it is.
That he tries to launch stuff There are circumstances that happen, and he tries to lie to you about the circumstance. You have a symptom, and he'll tell you, this is cancer. And it's not even close. It's just some stupid symptom. He'll lie to you about what's happening. This happens, so this means your child's going to do X, and he'll just play out the whole video for you. And it's choice. Do I believe what he just said, or do I believe what God said? Hallelujah. We're talking about thinking on what is true. You have to fix your thoughts on what is true. We need to know sometimes, though, what is it that is true. If we don't know the truth, then you'll take a lie. You'll act on a lie. Now, we as children of God, as we walk through this world, if we'll go to Him, get His plan, walk it out, Satan can't stop us. Amen. Because otherwise, that's saying he could stop God, and he can't. That's right. And we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So as we walk, we are untouchable. This is what it's saying here, any attack we can refute. Amen. Amen. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, you hold your ground. You hold your ground. I said, you hold it.
Amen.
You don't start running and say, well, I can't take it anymore. It's too much. I got to go. No, that's when it's time to say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He told me. And you quote what He told you about your situation. And I won't move. I won't be deceived. I won't submit to your lies. Satan, you have no business. No business. No right. No legal right. You know it. I know it. And I'm just going to praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what?
Truth.
The first thing, having girded your waist with truth. You need to know what the truth is. You need to know what God said. You need to act on it in the middle of chaos and lies and deceptions and smoke and mirrors and say, I don't care. God's word stands for all time. It is pure. It is tested. And I will see what He said. It will be as He promised me. As He has said unto me, that's how it will be to me and my household, period. And we stay there. And we stand there. Glory to God. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, so stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So he may shoot some stuff, but we're going to quench him with what? Faith. You gird yourself with truth and you believe what God says, even as the bullets are flying, you say, no, I believe Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at it, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 in the Amplified. On your sheet there. It says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. So we are dealing, like we said last week, we are dealing with things that are supernatural. Doesn't matter that you don't see them. Doesn't matter that you can't feel them with your physical body. They're there, but they've been stripped. Verse 13, therefore put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Hallelujah. Read 13 again. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Just because Satan brings lies, just because he brings lying circumstances, he brings lying symptoms, we stand. We refute these things. Look down to the next verse. This is where we had covered this, and I think we're circling back. This is, you know, another place where I wanted to get to. 2 Corinthians, put it together with these things we've been saying. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, just look on your sheet. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Does that sound like what we just read in Ephesians, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood? It's not all natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now look at it in the Amplified. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So he has thoughts. Satan will bring thoughts and reasonings and arguments and attacks and arrows and symptoms. In this earth, you'll face some of these things, but we need to stand against them. We need to resist all the junk that he tells you about what's going on in your life. We need to refute it, because that's where the primary battleground is. Think about it. You say, no, it's what's going on in my life. That's not the primary thing. If you had a symptom and you say, my problem is the symptom, or my problem is the sickness, that's not the primary thing. Because if you think, I have this sickness and I'm going to die from it and there's no hope and it's going to make my life miserable, that determines where your attitude and your emotions go. On the other hand, you could have that same sickness, those same symptoms, and say, God has already taken care of this. This has no right in my body. This will go and it will be gone and I will live. And you could have a completely different reaction. You could have a financial situation and you could think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna lose this, and I'm not gonna be able to pay this, and I don't know how this is gonna happen, and what does it mean, and how am I ever gonna get a job, and X, and you could be in hysteria. Or you could say, yeah, I need a job for this, or this account, you know, moved on, but God is my source and he will bring every need. He will He will meet every need. He will help me. And He has infinite resources. And the thing I need is just around the corner. And I'm going to be sitting better than ever within just a short amount of time. And you could be rejoicing. It's not what is happening. It's how we're looking at it. And this is Satan's playground. This is his specialty, because he's a liar, because he's a deceiver. So he comes in, he shoots stuff, and he'll say, "This is the end of you. I've come after you. I'm going to take out your kids. I'm going to take out your health. I'm going to take out your job." He'll tell you whatever, but he can't touch you, but it's what he tells you about it. And if you buy those lies, it leads to defeat. But he can do the same thing. Tell you he's taking you down. Tell you this will end badly. Paint all these pictures. Play all these videos in your mind. And if you'll refute it with what God says and say, "No, that's not true. I don't care what it looks like here. I am going with what God said. God said I will come out on top. He said that I am above only and not beneath." You quote the word back to him and quote the word back to him. He can't deal with that. He has no place in us. He has no right in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is how he defeats. He can't overpower us with sheer might. He's been stripped. What he can do is lie and deceive. And he'll shoot one little thing and then weave this whole story around it, saying this is how this is going to end up. And what we need to do is look at it for what it is, refute it with the word, and throw it to the ground and say that's not going to happen. That's a lie. And you just cut his whole web apart. Glory to God.